It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the traveling Built for Tough studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Monday morning. We are live from Glen Oaks Club for the Boomer Esiason Foundation golf outing, one of the great events that the foundation does at this wonderful club and golf course. So very excited to be here today on what is an incredibly busy Monday morning with so much to talk about. And I think the biggest story, I know the biggest story, is the Mets and the Phillies from yesterday. And I was so bummed out. I would equate the way I was watching this game yesterday like I was a dormant volcano for many years. And then, like, as the season has been going, you see, like, just a little bit of smoke coming up from the volcano, and you're like, is it going to happen? Is this going to erupt? And yesterday, it did. I hate the Philadelphia Phillies. I hate their fans. I hate that team. They're scruffy and weird with their long hair and just a stupid city and these loser fans. And I want to beat them so bad. And this game was up and down. They didn't die again. The Vientos home run in the ninth, I'm thinking there's no way they're losing. They're going to come back 2-0. But the Phillies' offense is too good, and it's just not going to be easy. And it does remind me a lot of what we saw in Milwaukee, where you had them on the ropes in game two. Didn't work out, but now you got to come back. You got to take care of business. Citi Field is going to be awesome. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I'm doing great. And as a matter of fact, this past weekend, starting Friday night all the way until last night, I mean, my head was like on a swivel. We had so many different things going on, including the Mets and Edwin Diaz blowing up in the eighth inning. And again, I don't necessarily feel like I trust him. I know he was a big part of winning in Milwaukee, coming in and being a part of, you know, a game three that was amazing from everybody that was a part of it. And every now and again, there's going to be a pitcher that's not going to come through. And the Phillies can say the same thing about their bullpen, sure, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. So it is, I every time he comes in the game, I worry that they're not going to be able to overcome whatever he's going to end up doing. And unfortunately, Carlos Mendoza still looks at him as his best relief pitcher when we all know that he's not.
Yeah, great point. There's no doubt about it. I was going to bring this up. He looks at Edwin Diaz differently than we look at Edwin Diaz. So if you think that anything you've seen from Edwin Diaz this year is going to change Carlos Mendoza as putting him into these games in the biggest moment, it's not. And if you've watched him like we have since the second he got here, you can see it on his face. You can tell with his body language what type of confidence he has in himself when he takes the mound, when he's sitting in the dugout in between innings, if he's going to come back out. In 2022, he had so much confidence that year when he had the magical year. You could just see it. When he came in, he knew he was going to get people out. You know, this year, obviously, the first year he was here, it just has this different sort of look on his face. And I'm like, damn, like, he doesn't believe in himself. He's all over the place. He's wild, and you're just expecting something bad to happen. So, yes, that is going to be an issue going forward, no doubt, well, especially with this offense.
It's been an issue the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, last year was just such a wash.
And I know that, you know, when he first got here, he probably had the worst season a closer ever had and then came back and had one of the great seasons a closer ever had. So they see, you know, they see the, you know, the speed, they see the movement on the ball, but, you know, whatever it is that he's doing, I don't know if he's tipping pitches, I have no idea, but it seems like every team that he pitches against, they're on him. They know what's coming. They either know what's coming or his ball is just not moving the way that, you know, he would expect it to move. So that is a big concern for me. The Phillies, much like the Brewers, they have a bunch of guys that could throw 100 miles an hour. But, you know, as you can see, guys can hit 100 miles an hour.
Yep.
It's when guys like Zach Wheeler are on the mound and all of a sudden, you know, he is controlling the game and you can't hit him. And it looked like there were times where, like, Vientos has been one of the stars for the Mets, was overmatched against Wheeler, but then later on in the game, now all of a sudden he's up there and he's not facing that pitcher anymore, and he becomes a threat. And it's been one of the really great stories for the Mets this year is the emergence of Vientos and what he has been able to do, especially here in the playoffs as well.
I mean, and to hit the home runs that he did yesterday, obviously in the ninth being the biggest one. I mean, he didn't even catch that thing on the sweet spot of the bat. I mean, that was like up towards his hands, and he still still got that thing
but
out
like
of it.
That's like a wiffle ball baseball park. You know that.
All right, come on.
There's a lot of home runs in Philadelphia.
I understand there are, but that is an impressive moment for a young guy in that situation. And there were so many times I thought they were going to win. I've never rooted for a team in my life in any sport that just doesn't die like this team. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Hold on for a second there, BT. Just relax.
What?
I mean, I saw your football team take down the Jets yesterday. They're 5-0, and I heard Justin Jefferson after the game going, "We got a bye, but I don't want to really go on a bye. I want to stay here and work on things."
That's great. But you obviously weren't listening to what I said. That don't die.
I was listening. I got headsets on.
Yeah, I know. But I said that don't, like, they're dead. They come from behind. You think the game is over, and they just keep fighting and fighting and fighting. Yes, the Vikings are 5-0, but it's not like they're coming back in all these games. They lead in every single game. With the Mets, it's just like they just keep fighting. They believe that they're never out of it. I just can't remember feeling so negative in situations and then having euphoria after it, because I think the team's done and then they come back. So I still believe, I mean, the way that they have played, it feels special. You just hate to waste some of the magic in a loss.
But the Phillies are a good team.
You're not going to sweep them.
There's a reason why they won the division, and you know, but I would say that the Mets have played better than them, you know, the second half of the season. But here's the thing that I would say in regards to all of this. You know, I'm watching these games, and I have to ask you this, because I know you went to the Yankee game on Friday night, right?
Well, Saturday, yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this. In person, watching Giancarlo Stanton, like, run the bases, what does it look like in person? Because on TV, it is pathetic, actually.
Yeah, you know, the best way I could describe it is, you know, ever show up to a game early, like a batting practice, and you're just waiting there, and like a guy will come out of the dugout, and he'll just like be in that light jog just because he's going to go out there and do some stretching. That's what it looks like. He looks like he's just going out there for the first time to do a little stretching before the game starts, like 2 hours before the game. He doesn't look like he is trying at all. But we know this is what they have decided with him.
It's amazing to me. You're paying a guy $30 million a year, and I understand you're waiting for one at-bat. You're waiting for that one home run during the game. It's basically all you're doing.
And he's been good in the postseason since he's been here.
I'm not saying that he hasn't been. All I'm saying is that I'm watching a guy just basically go through the motions. First of all, he doesn't even play the field.
Right.
All right, so I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he should be stretching and doing Pilates in between innings.
Maybe he is.
Maybe he should be.
Yeah.
Because if you can't bust it in a playoff game. So I just want, if he gets to game five here, or if they, I know they're going to make it to the championship series. They're going to make it to the World Series. I don't even know why I'm getting disgusted by this. But I would think that, you know, these games mean so much to the fans and the people. That stadium was packed.
Yeah.
When they showed the overhead of the
pit. I would hope so. It's a playoff game.
I know that. So that was like 49,000 people were in that stadium for that game. And I was listening to John and Susan for the early on part of it, and they were talking about the attendance. And John was going, every ticket is paid for. And the reason every ticket has to be paid for is because they share the revenue with the players.
Yep.
So there's no freebies. And there were 49,000. It looked like it was overflowing.
It was. I mean, and you would expect it to be. They have made a decision, the Yankees and Giancarlo Stanton, that is more important to them to keep him healthy than to have him run full speed on the bases.
Game 72, I understand.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just telling you, that is the stance.
We know that.
And
I understand
it looks terrible. But they had bigger issues than that. So, like, that to me, we know he's going to be jogging around the bases. They won the game, great, and they needed to because
they were given the game.
They got this, Rodon coming out there tonight, who God knows what you're going to get from that guy. He could pitch great. Chances are he won't. Garrett Cole, bad.
Yep.
Aaron Judge, again, in the postseason, comes up in multiple situations and does not deliver. They're just, they did not look like the dominant team that they need to be in this game one, and still won, which is a good thing. But man, if your stars are going to be mediocre again, I mean, that's what kills the Yankees when they get to the postseason, is the guys that have carried them there, the $300 million guys. aren't those guys, aren't at their best in the biggest moments. So they have to, absolutely
all right,
have
there was
to
one game and they pummel won it.
The Royals tonight.
Right. They won the game. You know, the Royals basically gave it to them. I mean, you're walking guys left and right. Nobody wants to throw strikes. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get people to go after balls out of the strike zone. So give the Yankees a lot of credit for being at least somewhat consistent and not going after bad pitches. That's the thing that bothers me. Mm-hmm. You know, the outside slider that your boy Giancarlo Stanton's always swinging at.
Yeah, right. Down and away, swing over the top of it, flailing.
But it's amazing. We're sitting here. They're 1-0 against the Royals, and we're
doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel like it just because of certain things that you see on the field. And you were there in person. I was just wondering what it looked like because it really on TV it looks bad.
Yeah, I mean, in everybody, it's just you know what it looks like. I mean, and everybody's talking about it immediately. Like, how in the hell are we still dealing with this? But they have decided he can't run full speed without getting hurt.
Then don't. I'm sorry. I guess then just pinch hit him late in the game then, because he's gonna go maybe 1-for-4, maybe that one's a home run.
Yeah, but they wins above replacement, right? Is a big stat in baseball. The Yankees have decided that he is the guy who has the highest wins above whatever his replacement would be.
I don't
even
know
who, with him jogging around the bases.
I don't even know who his replacement would be. That's right, the problem. They don't have a replacement.
There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to see the offense come out and just hang 10 on the Royals tonight. That's what you need from them, and hopefully Rodon can get a little bit of a cushion so he feels more comfortable out there, because that guy is just, I mean, I don't know how, I mean, the Cortez injury is a problem. But it's in a game two, when you're feeling good about your team winning that game one, and if they would have lost that game with Rodon in a short series coming out in game two, you know how nervous everybody would be? So thank God they found a way to win game one against the Royals. And then, so you got that, obviously, tonight, and then Citi Field, you get that Citi Field home playoff game. And there's a clip from Carlos Mendoza at the end of the season when they're talking about...
Then I said you got two Citi Field playoff games.
Well, yeah, I know, but you finally get the first one on Tuesday. So he's asked about, you know, this is the last time maybe, you know, be at Citi Field and... You know, you don't know what's going to happen. He's like, no. He's like, we're going to be here. We're gonna play games. I'm telling you, we're gonna play home playoff games. We're gonna be here. I'm telling you, it's not over.
He's kind of touching the money, but
he was right.
But I guess he is the manager. He's allowed to be confident in his team, right? I mean, I didn't want to say that. I certainly would have jumped down your throat if you would have said that.
Sure,
but he is the manager. I'll let him say that.
Yes, and he was absolutely right. So I don't think that the Mets, in that situation, at Citi Field, with the crowd going crazy, I don't think they're going back to Philadelphia.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I don't think they're going back.
I mean, do I need to hear that right now?
I don't think they're going back.
I mean, I'm
going
to take my putter and smash it up against your head.
Why? I mean, let's be confident for once, for the love of God.
Listen,
why not?
But why?
If you can't love this team, be confident in this team, then what's the point of even rooting for these? What's the point of even watching these games if you can't feel like your team's going to go home and beat the Phillies? And I can't stand... What is it about the Phillies that they're always dirty and disgusting-looking players?
Like, we got Jesse Winker. He's disgusting.
Not anything like the Phillies.
He looks like he belongs right on the Phillies.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't have as long a hair or
a
beard.
Does.
No, I mean, it's like down here. It's not like down to the middle of his back.
Slamming baseball helmets on home plate. We got our own guys.
Yeah, but no, not anything in the same way as the Philadelphia Phillies, and you know it. Those guys, they're just
You make dirty. A lot of errors, man.
They're just dirty.
They look like Razor Ramon.
Right?
Yes.
Perfect.
Well, Castellano, right?
And Nick Castellanos.
Yeah, yes. Castellanos, Castellano, Castellanos.
Yeah.
I sound like a caller. Can't get the names right.
Yeah.
I mean, how quickly did Severino just, like, fall apart?
Yeah.
He goes to cover first base, and I don't know, he came up limping because he covered first base. Don't these guys practice this all the time?
Well, yeah.
And spring next
training.
Next thing you know, it's a walk, then it's a home run, then it's another home run.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, when they go out there and talk... And they go up to guys like this.
Hey, let me just tell you something. I got to, you know, like, we got to keep it outside. Don't give them anything to hit.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think as I cover my mouth for the radio audience and I'm talking to Gio.
Right, right.
So, Gio, don't give him anything to hit. Lay it outside. Let's try a couple sliders inside, see if he chases. If he doesn't chase them, we'll just put him on. Isn't that the kind of conversation?
No, see, I think it's like the Bull Durham thing, like where I don't even think they're talking about baseball. They just like try to relax and like, look at the knockers on the one over there above the dugout. Look at that one. That's what I think they're talking about.
You think they're talking about knockers?
Yeah, I do.
About knockers.
Yeah, I mean, they do what they do, man. I don't know.
Jeremy Hefner goes out there and I'm like, listen, I'm going to yank your ass out of this game if you don't effing get this guy out. That's what I would say.
It's like you and me in the breaks. You lean over to me and say, can't believe what's going on with the mayor. It's the same thing.
Well, all right, how about this one?
Yeah.
Can't believe what's going on with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well, we will get to that and we'll take our first break.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Is this the Duckamishers in town?
Yes. Don't turn around. Duckamishers in town.
All right, let's get right to Jerry because I don't think he's ever had this much sports to tell us about. What's up, Jerry?
There's a lot. We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. We will start with the Mets, obviously. They were in Philadelphia. They won a fun game on Saturday, and they had an opportunity on Sunday to go up 2-0, back-and-forth game. They take the 3-0 lead. They give up the lead. Brandon Nimmo hits the home run, and then you had the game-tying home run for Mark Vientos in the ninth. Edwin Diaz blows the save. Everything going on, but ultimately in the bottom of the ninth, Philadelphia with the final turn at bat.
McGill sets. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball line down the left field line. It's a base hit, and the Phillies win the game. Around third, coming home is Turner. He scores standing, and the Phillies pour out of the dugout and mob Nick Castellanos between first and second. His game-winning single to left has given the Phillies a 7-6 win and even the National League Division Series at one win apiece.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
I'm Howie Rose.
Yes, 7-6. There's your final score. And so we are even at a game apiece. Very entertaining game, though. Bryson Stott had a 2-run triple off of Edwin Diaz. We talk about him blowing the save. That came in the 8th inning. He was brought in the 7th to try and get through the top of the order. Here's Tyler McGill. He's the one that was on in the 9th that gave up the game winner there to Castellanos. Talks about being in relief. Big spot, big game. Here was McGill.
No challenge. Same old. Just coming out in a different role. At the end of the day, just going to make pitches. Happened to get one away from me and cost this game.
Down the middle. Here was Carlos Mendoza. Obviously unconventional the way they used Diaz in the postseason. It's a little bit different. This was Mendoza on McGill in that spot.
When you're facing that part of the order, you know, it's one after another, you know. So he was careful with Turner. He can take you deep as well. And then obviously you got a pitch around Harper, and we just left that slider. I think it was too good of a pitch for Castellanos.
You know, it's amazing.
That's another good hitter and made him pay.
I was going to say, he gets two out. It was like Severino in the 6th inning.
Yeah. Two outs, nobody on.
He gets two outs, nobody on. You're thinking, okay, we got this. And next thing you know, the game's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
baseball's crazy that way, especially here.
You know,
in the
anything can happen.
Yeah.
That's baseball, Susan.
It's baseball.
Yeah, no,
it's a little tricky. Anything can happen.
It is crazy how quickly it happens.
The one thing I didn't like, though, they handled Bryce Harper just fine. And all of a sudden, it's like, can't pitch to Harper, can't pitch to... Why? You struck him out 6 times in the first 2 games.
Everything was fine. Yeah, but, you know, after Severino tripped on first base or whatever happened and he came up limping, the next 3 batters were like, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, and you're pregnant.
You know, I didn't love pitching around him there either.
I didn't either. Like, I mean, challenge him.
Like, I don't want to, you know, to put it on a platter for him, but at the same time, it's like, all right, he already hit a home run. If he hits another home run, then you'd be like, all right, hell.
Right.
Tippy cap spot.
Exactly.
Go after him.
If he hit another home run there, we would all be sitting here going,
they
why
walked
the hell
him on
they
four
pitch
pitches.
They didn't even come close.
Exactly. But the problem with that is that you put Turner on second base.
Right.
That's the thing. Right. Like, to me, like, you got to pitch to him because you don't want to put the guy on second base.
Now, that's the bad part that they lost. The good part is the way they continue to battle and battle and battle. Here was Mendoza on the fight.
Same. You know, we came back in the 9th inning after losing the lead. So, off day tomorrow and can't wait to play in front of our fan base. It's been a while. So, we'll be ready to go.
Yeah, they were Philly. Now they come home.
They have not, you know, like Howie and Keith Rad and, I mean, everybody. And the Mets, obviously, themselves.
They've been like washing the same clothes over and over again. They have not been home in forever.
They finished in Milwaukee. Where were they before that? Were they home before that?
No, they were in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They were in Atlanta.
I'm talking about the last weekend of the regular season.
Right, yeah.
They were in Atlanta before.
Remember,
that
was the rained out game.
That's right. The one game they played.
And they had to go to Milwaukee.
That's right. So they've been gone for 2 weeks, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they were saying on the broadcast.
Well, here is Nimmo on going back, finally.
Probably going to feel like a vacation home. You know, it's been a while, and you know, we're excited to get back to the Mets fans. I'm just most excited to see what Citi Field's like on Tuesday.
He's another one that's come through big.
Yeah, no doubt. That home run, he clobbered that thing yesterday. Eddie, we'll skip the Rob Thompson one for this hour. We'll go back to the Phillies coming up next hour. The Padres did beat the Dodgers 10-2. Six home runs, I think it was. Five or six home runs hit by San Diego. Fernando Tatis hit two. You also had, was it Jurickson Profar that took the home run away from Mookie Betts in left field. You had a little bit of a delay in this game, but that series tied 1-1 as well, going back to San Diego for Game 3. Tonight, the Yankees face the Royals, Game 2. You've got Carlos Rodon against Cole Reagans. The Yankees winning Saturday in the game G was at Yankee Stadium. 11-9.
Where were you sitting anyway?
Well, the WFAN has a party suite on that suite level. So it was all the way out there in right field.
I got a picture from behind you. Obviously, you
so
didn't
then
know
why'd
that.
You ask where I was sitting?
Because I didn't know where that was.
Oh.
I didn't know if you were in
you
the
didn't
stands.
See the foul pole?
Right, you were all the way out by the foul pole?
Well, it's in the picture, yeah.
Well, I didn't know whether or not you could see the players on the field or not. All I could tell, who were you sitting next to?
Takiya.
Peter Schwartz? No, it was not really? Sitting next to Peter Schwartz. Oh. No, it was Keith McPherson.
Oh, that was Keith.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Keith McPherson, yep.
The bleacher creature himself.
Yep.
Yeah,
pretty
I thought
cool.
He was that. See, I thought he was in the bleacher, so I thought maybe you were in the bleachers with
no,
him.
No.
But he just go down there for like
he
a
went to
or
the
two?
He was in the bleachers. He came up to the suite. He told me vibe was off in the bleachers. He didn't like it. Had to get out of there.
That's
he
interesting.
Said the vibe was off.
Said the vibe was off.
So are you telling me corporate people took over the bleachers in the playoffs?
He didn't say corporate. Just said
but
different.
Not.
There was not.
Yep.
It just he just said it didn't
too many
feel
jackets
right.
And ties or what?
No, I mean, no, not so much that. It just said it wasn't the same vibe.
What?
Too many stiffs.
Stiffs.
So yeah, he came up to the suite for a little bit. And we hung out and we talked. And
well, he's not a dumb guy. I mean, he came up to the suite. Where you guys got drinks and food and everything else?
Yeah, talked to some clients.
Yeah.
Lou from Wendy's, the great one,
yes.
You know, Lou.
Of course.
I love that guy. Brad from Flag and Anthem. The ELEC guys.
The ELEC guys. Everybody nice. Was there. Good.
Yeah,
did you
yeah,
do the
yeah,
job
yeah,
shaking
yeah.
hands?
Uh-huh.
Pounding the flesh?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
And whoever like ordered the alcohol for that suite is not a drinker. Let's just put it that way.
What'd they order?
It was just
low shelf, not top shelf.
Tequila.
Top shelf.
Yeah, they did have the Casamigos, which was great, but that's the only alcohol they had, and they had nothing to mix it with. Not a single thing. Not a single. If you wanted to mix it with Diet Pepsi, you could.
All right, so this was an Odyssey thing.
It had to have been. I was like, yeah, I mean, I was like, who ordered this? Like, and even the bartender was like, hey, I got nothing to do with this. He's like, but I will tell you, this is what they procured, and it's. I actually said procured. I remembered that.
I have to ask you, how long did it take you to get home from Yankee Stadium to Sayville?
Well, he just came straight here.
No, I am not ashamed to say we got out of there a little early.
No.
Nothing makes me happier than leaving a game early. I'm telling you,
I swear to God, it's
the best. When you know everybody else is in the stadium and you're just walking out there, the streets are open, you're da-da-da-da-da, suckers! That's awesome.
All right, let's get to the football from Sunday. We'll start with the late game first because that was the successful game as the Giants hung on late to beat the Seahawks.
Snap is good. Kick on its way. And it's blocked by the Giants. They got pressure up the middle, and they scoop it up. Running down the left side is Houston. He's to the five, and he's in for the score and a touchdown. Bryce Ford Wheaton is the one that picked it up.
He jumped right over the center there and blocked it. That is such a great play.
Yeah, it was.
Bryce by Isaiah Ford Simmons. Wheaton, off the bounce, returns it for a score.
That's,
is anybody going to say Isaiah Simmons?
Bob
Hopper.
Did he not say it there when he said he jumped over?
He did not say it.
Hi, this is Carl Banks.
Hi, Carl.
Are you sure? I thought he did.
I didn't hear it, but it was a great play. And the reason that this play is legal is because he doesn't touch anybody. If he touches somebody, then he uses a offensive player as leverage, and then it would have been a penalty. It would have been a 15-yard penalty. But this is obviously something they practice, and he jumped right through Al the A-gap. You know what the A-gap is, Al?
They didn't jam it in the A-gap. They jumped the A-gap.
Yeah, they jumped the A-gap, Al.
What's this now?
It's
Steve. Steve.
Al's Mike Steve, maybe?
Oh, hi. Jammed it up the A-gap, you're saying?
No, they jumped it over
the A-gap.
Jumped it over the A-gap. Yeah, they jumped it over the A-gap. Isaiah Simmons. It was great. It was a great play.
Here was Brian Daboll.
Did you see it?
I did.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Okay.
I thought it was a nice bookend to what happened to the Giants in the first drive.
Is that a new Met hoodie you have there?
I've had this number of years.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Thank you.
That is really nice.
It's a sharp hat.
Here's Brian Daboll on the play.
Put a lot of trust in your assistants. So Gobi thought it would be a good, you know, he showed me a few clips of, and we held it, too. We were, you know, I kept asking for it during the game. I thought, you know, we probably had a chance at it. And Gobi's like, I just want to set it up one more. And, look, there's risk-reward to it because if you get a penalty, then it's a first down for the offense. But I thought Gobi did a great job of just setting up the rush, called it at the perfect time.
Yeah. You know, by the way, Gobi didn't jump over anybody. Gobi was standing on the sideline. It's Isaiah Simmons. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a great play.
And, you know, when he was drafted by the Cardinals, everybody said he was like a tweener. Is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? But one thing everybody else said about him was that he was a great athlete. And what you saw there was a great athletic play. That was awesome.
So here he is on blocking the kick.
I think the hardest part about it is you have to jump up first and then go forward.
Right.
Because you can't touch anywhere else it gets called back. So
levitate.
Just being able to get up and over. And then, like I said, once you touch again to go right back up, that's probably the hardest part.
By the way, on the replay, and I'm seeing it here on CBS Sports Network, after Isaiah Simmons blocks the punt, I think it's the holder that he basically blasts and levels.
Yes.
I mean, which is awesome.
The free shot.
Yeah, run that again there, Stephen Waldron. It's the greatest thing in the world. I mean, this is like the most manly play of all time. I'm going to jump over the center, I'm going to block it, and then I'm going to level. Boom! It's actually the kicker. It was a kicker.
Yes,
Level the kicker.
Who's that? Jason Myers? Is that who knows?
And actually, the Giants don't really have to score there. You remember when Devin Singletary didn't score at the end of their first win?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to score there. He just sits there and they take a knee. The game is over.
Yeah, but if you're Bryce Jones,
you're scoring.
you're getting in there.
And he did. Daniel Jones, by the way, 257, two touchdowns, big games for Darius Slayton and Tyrone Tracy.
The nice thing about this is that it was without Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
They went out there and Darius Slayton showed up. But there was a play late in this game where if the Giants get a first down, they're going to win the game. And Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton are trying to run a combination route so Slayton can come underneath. I don't know what the hell Wandale Robinson was doing. But this is why the guys are good. They're not great. Great players understand what their job is and what they're supposed to be doing. And that particular play looked like it was completely blown up from the start.
Good, not great.
And the Giants, by the way, had 7 sacks of Geno Smith. So pretty good there defensively.
Dexter Lawrence was killing people.
He had 3 himself. Guy. All right, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give you Paul Allen.
Nice.
This is the game clincher for the Vikings in London yesterday morning when they beat the Jets.
The Jets, 5 of 16 on third down. Rodgers back to pass. Fade right. And
intercepted.
Did Gilmore pick it off? Come on. The Vikings. Yes. Vikings ball. I believe it was Stephon Gilmore, but he's being mugged by his teammate.
I would say
they're good. Like, they're solid.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, Jerry, but they played terribly.
I agree, but defensively, they were all over that.
As terrible as the Jets.
I know, but it just shows you how bad the Jets are. The Vikings offense was off. It was just not the same. They couldn't do anything. And by the way,
the Jets defense is pretty good.
They are, but there's been, so was the 49ers defense that went right through. So,
Dan Ginkle gets another touchdown return.
What a great free agent signing.
But here's the thing about the Jets offense, folks. They are not very creative at all. They line up the way that they want to line up, and this is Hackett, and this is Aaron Rodgers. This is the way they want to run it. This is not Ben Johnson. This is not Kyle Shanahan. This is not Mike McDaniel when he has Tua, where these guys are moving all over the place pre-snap, and there's a lot of motion going on. They like to get out there and line up. And Aaron wants to see the defense, and Aaron wants to throw back shoulder throws the whole game. He would do that the whole game. And that's it's a very simple way of doing things, but Aaron has been so successful in doing it that it's hard to say, hey, we're gonna trade things out and we're gonna change things around. We're not gonna do that, you know. And as they were force feeding Garrett Wilson yesterday, my own personal feeling was that they were trying to get on the same page. They were really trying to force the issue. I'm gonna throw it to you. You're gonna make plays.
Squeaky wheel spot.
Yeah, but it was also. That's what they have to do. I'm just saying, they've only played five games together. And this is why I'm not overly concerned about any of it. I mean, it's five games. And by the way, it looks like right now, if we had to project into the future, one team out of the AFC East is going to make it. And that's whoever wins the division. And they are right in the middle of that fight. The season is not over by any stretch of the imagination. They have a long way to go. And as Aaron said after the game yesterday, number one, he took accountability, which was good. Because if he didn't, you know, I was going to get angry. Because, you know, he made some really bad throws yesterday. And that Van Ginkle interception, that's a Will Levis interception. That's not an Aaron Rodgers interception.
I think the Bynum interception was worse.
Well, because he overthrew everybody, and he forced the issue, and you had Breece Hall standing right in front of him.
Yeah, that was bad.
And by the way, I don't know what Breece Hall was doing.
Nothing.
I think the other kids should get more opportunities. Yeah, Braylon Allen should get more opportunities now, and you got to earn your way on the field. And something's off about Breece Hall, and I don't know what it is.
So we've covered everything in the first 41 minutes. So BT and Sal coming up next.
we got a lot to break down, Big.
All right, next hour I'll have a lot more sound from around the league. The Cowboys did beat the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. The game didn't start till after 10 p.m. because of weather in Pittsburgh, but they went 20-17.
You're happy?
Yeah, no, it keeps their season. There's life in their season. They're 3-2.
That's a big win.
The Commanders won. They're 4-1. Saints Chiefs tonight, and then what else do I have? I got to get you the Jamar Chase. I know they lost. The Bengals lost, but the Jamar Chase 70-yard touchdown. Oh, the call is phenomenal from your guys. All right, all that and more.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer. Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network. In the break, Boomer almost killed Craig Courier's dog. So that was interesting.
No, I didn't. Well, Al said, don't swing the club. The dog's behind you. I didn't see him.
Yeah, I know you didn't, but would have been... Not a great accident.
No, would not have been a good way to start the day. No.
All right. So we will get in depth with the Jets coming up in 10 minutes from now, so we can have a little bit more time to talk about it and what's going on with the offense and Aaron Rodgers and all that. We are also giving away tickets to Game 3 of Mets Phillies at Citi Field on Tuesday in the 8 a.m. hour. We're going to tell you in the 7 a.m. hour how you can win those tickets. So very, very cool that we have those tickets, and that's going to be one hell of an atmosphere. Citi Field, 4:08 again, I believe, on Tuesday, and you're going to see this series continue. And I really do feel like it's a similar situation to what they had with the Brewers, where you felt like, damn, you gave one away. But at the same time, like how angry can you get at this point with this team with that loss? Like, that was my takeaway at the end, as disappointed as I was, but I was like, I didn't have any sort of anger because they fought back again, they played great, and this Phillies offense is so good. And, you know, and with them having their backs up against the wall, they did it. I mean, their best players came up in big situations.
Just like ours have.
Right. So, and they got one, and that's what happens. They won the NL East, they're really good, they've had these runs in the playoffs, and they got one at home, so... The series isn't over.
I think more importantly, the Mets hung with them.
I mean,
have been with them every step of the way. And I can't say enough about Francisco Lindor. He's always the table setter, always comes through. And, you know, it's amazing. They're in the ninth inning, right? And you're thinking to yourself, okay, what's going to happen here? Lindor gets on base.
He always does. Yeah.
What happens here? Oh, you know, home run by Vientos to tie the game. And you're like, oh, my God, here we go again. And it is. everybody says it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's almost like become part of anytime you're talking about the Mets, OMG has got to come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line. And it just, it's a weird thing. I mean, look, they're playing great. Their offense has been spot on, and it comes, it's obvious late in games that it's there. So they do have that in their DNA, which is great. And it's also great to see that Pete Alonso hit another home run. Brandon Nimmo hit another home run. I mean, like, it is going throughout the lineup.
Yeah, that Nimmo home run, man, I was so jacked up. And I was worried, obviously, one-run lead and the Phillies offense and the bullpen and everything else, and it didn't work out. But that was one that kind of gets lost in the mix after the Vientos home run was after the Phillies tie at 3-3. Here comes Brandon Nimmo, one of those piss missiles out there into right field. I was so fired up.
But the same thing happened. Severino and Tyler McGill had the same thing happen to them. Pretty much. You get two outs, and boom, before you know it, you've given up like a run in the case of McGill for the loss. And then for Severino, you give up the lead, and you end up leaving with a tie.
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing how quickly it happens in baseball.
Well, especially with offenses like the Phillies have. I mean, those.
And the Mets.
Yeah, I know. And it's just, it's like that Bryce Harper home run just gave them the life that they needed. They were completely dead, and he was the one, of course he was the one, to put the team on his back, and whack, there was. It's like, okay, here we go. They're alive. They're awake.
And this is why they
Undertaker
didn't
meme.
But this is why they didn't pitch to him in the ninth.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like, it's all about
momentum.
He's
not going to hit a home run every single time he's up there.
I know, but it's a feel thing. It's like, and I'm sure that the Phillies are saying the same thing about Francisco Lindor. You know, it's a feel thing. Like, you know that the guy is playing well. You know the guy is hot now. You know that there's all of a sudden energy in the building. So you're trying to kind of nuance the situation so the guy doesn't have it happen again, and they pitch around him, and then some, you know, the guy behind him comes up and hits one.
Yeah, and I know that Harrison Bader's a really good defensive player, and he also was the Yankees' best hitter in the postseason a couple years
ago.
But
he's horrendous right now.
I don't need to see him at the plate anymore. I can't. He's not a productive baseball player.
Put him in late in the game.
If you
want to, yes.
Yeah, make sure he's not coming up in any sort of situation.
I think I heard a stat like he's
sucks.
Like 11. I don't know. I don't want to misrepresent the stat that I heard, but when I heard it, I could not believe that his batting average has tumbled so much in the last 6 weeks of the season. I watching the games, it's just another player, but now it kind of shows itself in big spots, and it shows itself in the playoffs. That's what the announcers now are talking about just how inept his batting has been for the last probably the last 7 to 8 weeks of the season.
Yeah. My old high school baseball coach, Neil Heaton, when a guy was hitting like that, he'd strike out, maybe didn't have a hit for like 2 weeks. He says, hey, next time go up there with a newspaper. Might as well read while you're standing up there.
I actually love that.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. Just go up there with a newspaper.
You know what that is? That's old school Long Island.
Oh, damn right it is.
That's exactly what that is.
Yes.